Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure, and welcome to Halas Intrigue, the Chicago Bears podcast. Jason, coming up on the show, we will talk about Justin Fields and what he had to say in his first Halas Hall interview in a couple of months. We'll talk about who was at OTAs and who wasn't and why that matters. All that next, coming up on Halas Intrigue. Jason, as you and I sit here at Halas Hall, we just finished talking to Justin Fields. The last time he spoke here was, locker clean-out day, right, when he was still recovering from the hideous injury that kept him out of the tanking game at the very end. Fields didn't want to get caught up too much in what's at stake for him this season, but he did admit this, that, you know, he said, I'm not worried about contracts, I'm worried about wins. It occurred to me that wins will help his contract situation because the Bears can extend him for the first time at the end of this upcoming season.
Yeah, Patrick, and I think a common theme of the questions to Justin Fields today and probably going forward for a while is going to be about the upgraded personnel around him. And he's not going to give you much on that.
No.
Because that would mean he needs to throw under the bus and trash all these guys that he played with the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's going to sit there and be like, Byron Pringle, come on. Yeah, right, yeah.
But it's one of these things where you have to kind of read between the lines and you have to pay attention to what he highlights on his own where he's not asked. And I think he sees what everyone else sees, which is that all the pieces appear to be in place as of now, not for the Bears to win a Super Bowl, but for him to be a productive quarterback. There are going to be no more excuses about the players around him.
Yes, and, you know, whether you talk about DJ Moore at receiver, Chase Claypool, Fields kind of out of left field, decided to praise Chase Claypool in terms of what did he say? It was a curious comment. It was that kind of his mindset and his work ethic was better than it had been, something like that. Robert Tonyan at tight end, and even the Bears using their first pick on right tackle, Darnell Wright, all those things are going to help them get an honest evaluation of Fields. And if it's not good, Chicago will have a wonderful debate on their hands for months, which will be, do you keep them and spend an ungodly sum on a contract extension, or do you use the two first-round picks you have next year and parlay them into a quarterback in a quarterback class that is supposed to be a lot better than the one that they just passed on?
That decision will probably make itself, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're picking number one again, then you probably have your answer.
Right, but if they have, picks six and eight, you know, can they turn that into a number one? Maybe they can.
I think the things that are going to be most interesting to watch are always at OTAs and mini camps and everything this time of year is, how does Fields look? How do the rookies look? And who's here or not here for whatever reasons? Mm-hmm. With Fields, we're going to need to see a little more, obviously. With the rookies, their top rookies are line of scrimmage guys, so I don't know how much we're really going to be able to discern from that during these practices. But as far as who's here and not here, there's a lot going on there in that department. There are a lot of big names not on the field today for various reasons.
Yeah, and two of them are because of injury. One is Eddie Jackson, who's still recovering from that Lisfranc injury. The other is Darnell Mooney, who it's an ankle, correct? It's been a long rehab from him. With both guys, I think we knew within a week of them getting hurt that it was a pretty ugly injury and it was going to take a while. But suffice it to say, they didn't get ready in time for OTAs. Matt Eberflus said, there's nothing bad going on there. They're all on the right path. And, I don't know whether that's true or not, but they're not ready yet. The two names, though, that jumped out at me in terms of, not attending voluntary minicamp, were Jalen Johnson, the cornerback, and Nate Davis, their new right guard, who they spent $30 million on over 3 years. Matt Eberflus was clear today that Jalen's hand injury that sent him to IR at the end of the season was not what was keeping him out.
He's not out for injury. And this is where, if you just read a transcript of what Matt Eberflus said about this, just read the words on the page, it's not that interesting. But I think when you're around him a lot, you can kind of read his tone a little bit. And when he says, for example, Patrick, about whether Jalen Johnson is going to be at mandatory minicamp, ask him when you see him. Matt Eberflus probably hasn't seen him, it doesn't sound like.
No,
there's a lot going on with his tone there that suggests that He's not happy with this absence.
And why does this matter? This matters because his contract is up at the end of this season. Matters because he's one of their best young players. And, you know, we thought going into the offseason that the Bears would focus on a lot of their third-year players in terms of getting a deal done, whether that was Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, Darnell Mooney, or maybe even Chase Claypool. Ryan Poles was clear to us that Chase Claypool's got to put together a better season for them to extend him. Mooney, I believe they're waiting to see him recover fully before engaging in that contract. You know, I wouldn't surprise me. I would probably bet on Kmet and Johnson getting new deals. But the reason it's notable why he's not here is because there's still no new deal. Yeah, the other thing is this. Remember, you know, when the Bears had a voluntary minicamp last year that they got by virtue of hiring a new head coach, kind of the first get-to-know-you experience that Eberflus had with his team, do you know who wasn't there? Jalen Johnson. So this isn't completely out of left field, and this isn't necessarily a surprise. Maybe surprise is the wrong word, but it's, you know, within his character, I guess, in the last 2 years. That said, and I can hear the football, or, you know, the NFLPA screaming, it's voluntary. It's voluntary. You can't punish them for not going to something that's voluntary.
Yeah, but it's not really voluntary in the true sense of the word. It's kind of technically voluntary.
Right.
But standard practices, players come to this.
Right.
With very few exceptions.
Yeah.
So much so, Pat, that it's notable when a guy's there or not there. And this is not sounding the alarm on Jalen Johnson.
No.
It's May. There's so much time. Like, this is not red alert in this situation. But it's an early sign that there's something to keep an eye on here.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was to ask you, this is, again, like, reading tone and reading what you've been around for the last year plus with the new regime, Pat. If I asked you or someone else asked you, hey, have things gone smoothly between Jalen Johnson and the new people in charge with the Bears?
No. I mean, and part of it was, I mean, there was a time last, was it mandatory minicamp when Jalen was running with the second team? You know, there was, after he didn't practice, Eberflus went out of his way to be like, hey, man, I didn't get a chance to see him, so now I'm excited to see him. For whatever reason, it hasn't always been peaceful, at least publicly.
It hasn't been horrible. Like, nobody's been calling each other names or anything. But,
no, and I'm being,
but it hasn't run smoothly.
Well, and I'm trying to be careful using my words here because I don't want to make it into a bigger deal than it is. But you're right. It has not been it's not been as lovey-dovey as you'd think it would be, given that at least I consider Jalen to be one of the five best players on their team.
And one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and a young player who would be a key to their future at a premium position. You're looking at their cornerbacks, right now with him and Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson. That looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Poles said that, a few weeks ago. That looks really good. We'd like to keep that together. But Ryan Poles is going to have his price point for that. There is a lot of context here with Jalen Johnson that factors into this being at least a little bit of a concern right now. And one is, like we talked about, it has not always been smooth sailing between him and the people running the Bears right now. Two, this is the natural time for there to be some kind of contract dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was Jalen Johnson, I would not want to get on the practice field without a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I don't know 100% that that's what he's thinking right now,
right.
But I know it's what I'd be thinking.
Right.
And Pat, we just went through this last year with one of their very, very good young players, where Roquan Smith is missing time, and you have to ask yourself, boy, did we miss the signs of this coming for a while?
Sure. Although Roquan Smith showed up for this.
He was here for this. Roquan Smith was here for this at optional practices as a show of good faith, I think, that then in his mind was not returned. Ultimately, it leads to a very, very good young talent leaving the building, which is not what you want when you're rebuilding.
No, absolutely not. You also, I mean, I hate to use the word distraction because that is code. You know, when coaches use that word, it's code for stop asking me questions I don't want to answer. But they don't need this distraction as it is.
Well, it's problematic.
Yeah, of course it is.
You need your guys on the field. And, Pat, another thing, man, like, this year counts.
Mm-hmm.
This year is not, well, we'll see what happens. It's a teardown year.
Sure.
Like, this would be Roquan Smith, for example, missing 15 practices and 2 preseason games. If that was something like that was to happen this year with one of the guys that's up for a contract extension,
yeah,
it's a much bigger problem.
Yeah, it would be. Like you said, there's a lot of time between now and when it's really time to start worrying, but this is not a good first step. I mean, the Bears just had their second of 12 OTA practices. Then they'll have mandatory minicamp, and at mandatory minicamp, if you don't show up, you get fined. Just ask Robert Quinn. So, in mid-June, we'll have a much better sense of just how serious everybody is about all this.
Jalen Johnson, to me, from the time Ryan Poles took the job, I thought that has to be one of his key pieces on a roster that doesn't have a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. How many times did you say that about Roquan Smith last year?
Yeah. I thought it was too, and that's not a win for them that they traded Roquan Smith for a second-round pick.
For the right to draft a defensive lineman.
Yeah. That they hope will be somehow someday as good as Roquan, as good at his job as Roquan right. Smith is at his. That's not a win. Ryan Poles would tell you that's not a that's not the outcome that they would have preferred was for right. Roquan Smith leaving.
Right.
That's where they were left because they couldn't agree on a deal.
Yeah, well, I mean, and they get $60 million worth of salary flexibility out of the deal. But, if you look at what they spent this offseason, they could have kept Roquan and made every single move they made this offseason and would have had a much better team for it. In fact, they paid Tremaine Edmonds, who we talked to today as well. They paid him as though he were Roquan for the most part, and even though he did not have the production that Roquan Smith had.
Well, their two big splashy acquisitions looked really good today. It's only day one, mm-hmm. but Tremaine Edmonds looked really good. DJ right. Moore looked really good.
Yeah, Edmonds had a pick six at the end of practice, and boy, he is really big in person.
Yes.
He is unusually tall and lengthy for his position, which is middle linebacker, not, Sam or Will. But man, when you see that in person in pads, whew. And then DJ Moore caught a deep ball down the right hash from Justin Fields, caught a couple of passes, looked really good. Both Fields and DJ were clear that it's going to take a while for this thing to be completely smooth. But man, I mean, to be talking about somebody who's been a number one receiver somewhere that wasn't the Canadian League is different than what we're used to around here. And if Justin can, develop a chemistry with him, that would be a big deal because you know what? He's got, for the first time as a pro, he's got his same coaches returning. He's got his same coordinator. He's got his same head coach. He's got his same offensive system. And, we spent a lot of time in his rookie year talking about, well, he has no chemistry with his receivers because Matt Nagy didn't play him during training camp. And that was true. But now, this is something he can cross off his list. Early and hopefully be set by the time training camp rolls around.
He's not making excuses, let's be clear. He has never pointed to Matt Nagy or the right. decisions Ryan Pace made or anything like that. Or even last year, I have no wide receivers.
Right.
He's not saying that, but if you're trying to make a case for him as the franchise quarterback, mm-hmm. you have to make those excuses for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any excuses to be made.
Going forward, no.
On this roster.
No.
And maybe this offensive line doesn't turn out to be the best in the NFL or something, but it's sufficient. That is a quality. On paper, you can see those are – you have a first-round draft pick on one side. You have a full-time starting left tackle from last year on the other side. You have veteran-proven guys in the middle. You have receivers that you like.
Mm-hmm.
There are some question marks after DJ Moore, like is Chase Claypool going to be anything?
Is Darnell Mooney going to
be healthy enough to be anything? And if you remember, of course, Darnell Mooney was trying to prove something himself mm-hmm. before that injury. Going into last season, Darnell Mooney had still something to show as far as can he lead an offense. Now, he won't have to lead an offense with mm-hmm. DJ Moore here, but I'm sure he aspires to be more than just a number three receiver.
Well,
all those pieces seem to be in place. Cole Kmet, again, another example at tight end, like mm-hmm. not an all-pro, mm-hmm. but good enough. There yep. is enough here that you – would not be able to say it's a cloudy evaluation of Justin Fields anymore.
Yeah, and I want to be clear about this. We're not saying this is a Super Bowl team. We're not saying this is a playoff team. I mean, this is probably, at least the way I look at it, an 8-9 football team. But you have enough professional-level players surrounding your quarterback for the first time in 3 years that you should be able to figure out what you've got. And that's going to be the big question, and that's why Justin's health is going to be so important going forward too. Is, if the Bears get 3 games of him and then a torn ACL, or 8 games of him and then a really bad hamstring or something, then they're not going to have the answer they're looking for at the end of the offseason. And at the end of the offseason, they can pay him a boatload of money, or they can move on.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, you know, the third way would be to just let him play out his fourth year. You know, maybe you pick up that fifth year option, maybe you don't. But by the time you do that, then having those two draft picks doesn't matter anymore, because if you use them on a receiver and a guard, then you're looking at having to evaluate Justin without the safety net of that extra first round pick in 2025. So it's a huge season for him, and I asked Justin, it's kind of, hey, can you appreciate what a big year this is? He said, like what? And I said, well, you sit there and go, this is a big year for me. And he didn't want to get into it. And then, he finally did say, I don't care about the contract. I care about wins. And that's true. But, I think he sure as hell cares about his ability to stick in this league as a starting quarterback, because the last guy who was here didn't. And, the last guy who was here made headlines this week because he got a new contract so the Steelers could lower his cap number as a backup. Like, this is what we're talking about when things don't go right.
Well, and this is the year. This is it, really, for him.
Yep.
I mean, if one way or another, if he is not it this year, whether they're drafting somebody or trying to find a stopgap, somebody that can help maybe, quote-unquote, come in and compete with Justin for the starting job, now you're really in a different territory. Now you're getting into those chapters of how it ended mm-hmm. with Mitch Trubisky. When you mentioned you're trying to look at this roster and say, well, it looks like, it's not a Super Bowl team. It's not a playoff team, even necessarily, maybe an 8-9 type team. As you try to assess that, I think this is the first time going into a season where you can sit here and say, that depends on Justin Fields.
Well,
it's going to depend on him. Like, he'll be the deciding factor. That was not the case the last 2 years, because it might not have mattered how good he was the last 2 years.
That also wasn't the case in the division the last 2 years because of Aaron Rodgers. And, and maybe for the last 30 years because of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. All of a sudden, the door is open for everybody. I mean, shoot, the Lions are favored to win it. The Lions. So, yes, they will only go as far as Justin Fields takes them. But the fact that their immediate rivals aren't as intimidating as they used to be, at least as we sit here in May, certainly helps them too.
It's open. And at quarterback, I think you have two teams in the Lions and Vikings that don't realize they need a quarterback. And you have two teams in the Bears and Packers that don't know whether the guy they have is the quarterback.
Right.
And so whoever is proven right out of those four at that position is probably going to be the team that wins it.
Sure. And that said, with all that uncertainty, you wouldn't bet on this being a playoff team right now, would you?
I wouldn't. But my bet overall on their season would be on Justin Fields mm-hmm. in a way that was just not the case the last couple of years.
Right.
The last couple of years, there were so many other factors mm-hmm. that would be in his way.
Right.
And it wouldn't matter how well he played. In fact, he played very, very well at times last year, and they kept losing.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't think will happen this year. If he plays well, I don't see them losing.
I think we need to define plays well. I think if he throws well, I don't see them losing. A lot of what he did last year that was really good was with his legs and was not the result of a brilliant offense. It was the result of wonderful athletic individual skill. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's a big year for him whether he wants to admit it.
It is the big year for him.
Yeah.
May. He's going to be solidified as the franchise quarterback or out.
Yep.
That seems pretty clear to me.
Yeah, clear to me too.
I call that a big year.
A lot of money at stake, hundreds of millions of dollars at stake. So maybe it's better off for him to live every day not thinking about that, because it might absolutely paralyze me with fear. But we will have plenty of time to talk about that and other stuff as we go on. Jason, OTAs continue the next couple of weeks. We will be back up here next week and the week after. Then they've got 3 days of mandatory minicamp, and then we all break for summer. Training camp is closer than we think, and that's a scary thought indeed. Anyway, you can follow Mark Potash, Jason Leisure, and I on Twitter. Check us out on the Sun-Times website or in print. And please like, rate, and review the podcast. He is Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.